Again, from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Because in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Thomas's question is so real. It cuts to the heart of the matter for many of us right now. Everything feels sort of upside down and disconnected. With one third of the village leaving in the last few days, our community feels eerily quiet. It's hard to know where this is all going. And like Thomas, we wonder, how on earth are we to know the way forward? This exchange between Jesus and Thomas happens on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, right before he was to go to the cross. He has been with the disciples for 3 years, and now he must face his own crucifixion and death. And his disciples, they knew this. Jesus had talked about it openly with them. So I actually wonder if Thomas's question comes less out of a place of not knowing and more out of a place of fear. None of us can know what the future holds, even in the best of times. And usually we function pretty okay with not knowing. But in times of extreme uncertainty, like being in a remote wilderness village during a pandemic, the future feels all the more unpredictable. And under this kind of stress, many of us are seeking answers. Answers that cannot be ours. I believe that the world is having the curtain of certainty pulled back on us by this virus. Like there's been this facade allowing us to believe that we can actually control what is to come, especially if our privilege has provided us with a false stance of, thinking we can effectively manipulate the future, which we cannot. And how do we live into this knowledge, or the lack thereof, I guess? Because if we can find a way forward in the midst of uncertainty, and to do it in a way that cares for those around us, especially the most vulnerable, this learning may just be our greatest gift. You see, Jesus didn't give his disciples exact instructions with points A, B, and C that they were supposed to follow. In John 14, he says that he prepares a place for us as we end our journeys, but he's not going to dictate the steps that we take to get there. Instead, he's showing us the way. And this way means connecting with those on the periphery. It means supporting the work of healing and embodying compassion. This is how Jesus lived his life, and through him, through his way, that we are to find our own way. Jesus' way, truth, and life are not a demand, they're an invitation. And his way becomes a conversation, a place to check our priorities, to make sure we are really loving each other well as we move forward into the unknown. Honestly, I am in awe of the freedom that is being offered us here. So what if this halt in our usual lives is a chance to take stock in what really matters? I mean, Holden has been talking a lot about connecting the resources of this place with a wider audience, especially to those that might not have the financial capacity to come all the way up here for a week away. So what if we used this time to pause and consider recommendations that we could put into our turnover files? I mean, whose needs are we serving in our work? And where has privilege been built into our system so that the less connected are made to feel like outsiders? How could we create a community space that allows relationships to be more mutually transformative, that the learning and the shared knowledge move in both directions? As I walked back into the village from Lucerne yesterday, I was listening to an On Being podcast interview with Rebecca Solnit. She is an author and activist, and she writes, quote-unquote, untold histories of redemptive change in our world. As she actively draws herself toward hope, she says this: I want better metaphors. I want better stories. I want more openness. I want better questions. All these things feel like they give us tools that are a little more commensurate with amazing possibilities and the terrible realities that we face. Because if we can reject the unhelpful or destructive narratives we're told, then she says we are telling our own stories and we become the storyteller rather than the person that is told what to do. I've been thinking about the narratives that we brought into this place. And I'm thinking about the stories and narratives that we are now telling each other in this community, the assumptions that we make. Fear is a story that we tell ourselves. And we hear again and again, less so here at Holden, but we all know the media only feeds this phobia. Negativity is a style of story that we put on ourselves and on others. And things like deciding we are without options or that we have feelings of being trapped. So often these narratives that either we are told or we may even choose to retell or even create of our own volition, they are only false translations of reality. And if not false, they're one perspective on it. We get to make our own way here. We can control our own narrative. And if we follow Jesus' way, truth, and life, or some other great model for compassionate living, we find better metaphors and we get to tell better stories. We can choose to live our lives with greater openness, and we can demand better questions. Jesus may be our compass, but he's not going to tell us exactly what trails to take. And that's the adventure, isn't it? Thinking on Thomas, I imagine he was perhaps anxious. He was uncertain or afraid of what the future might bring. And I think we all can identify with that in our own context. And out of this place of anxiety and uncertainty, he was demanding that Jesus give him clearer directions, clear points A, B, and C that he could then follow. And Jesus said, no. There is a way of being in relationship that we are invited to, but the specifics of how we flesh that out is our journey to make. And to this, Jesus says, this sort of muddling, figuring things out that we do on each of our own journeys, Jesus says to us, I trust you. Actually, if you remember towards the end of today's gospel reading, Jesus says that we will go on to do greater things than he. Again, I find this amazing. In this time of global pandemic, I do believe that we are to be careful with each other's lives. We are to be thoughtful in how we create necessary safeguards to protect the most vulnerable among us. And yet these cautions, they cannot bring us to fullness of life. So may this time of in between grant us a deeper wisdom about what matters most. And may we find the courage to live out new stories and truer metaphors, forever willing to listen to one another, to adapt, and start again when needed. For the needs of our neighbor and the future of this fragile planet depend on our willingness to see life in new ways. May it be so with us. Amen.